the book of Ephesians, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And we are here on chapter 5 today. And I'm going to read from verse 7 to 13. Therefore, do not associate with them. Actually, if you go before that, it says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Sons of disobedience are the people who are not born again, who are not Christians. Therefore, do not partakers with them, do not associate with them. For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and true and right and true. Verse 10 says, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Verse 12 says, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. Alright, now I'm going to take some of this that is said in the Word of God, and if I'm going to give a topic today, the topic that I will give today is unholy fellowship. Unholy fellowship. We Christians are pilgrims on this earth. Okay? The Bible says that we are pilgrims on this earth. Alright? Pilgrims, that means we are pilgrims, we are not tourists who can buy here and there, enjoy, but we are pilgrims. Because our real citizenship is in heaven. And we are just passing by on this earth for a very short period of time. Remember, it's going to be a very short period of time. So here, as pilgrims, there are two roads that you got to take. Jesus said, there's a road that is very broad, where all the people, they want to take that road because that is very pleasing to the eye. It's very pleasing to the flesh. So many people are taking the road that is very broad. It's an easy way. It's a comfortable way. And many are taking that road. And that road leads to destruction. As pilgrims, we are to take the narrow road. That road is not easy to take. That road is very difficult to take. That road, when it comes to temptations and there will be difficulties, hardships, and we need to crucify those things. But that road leads to life, to eternal life. So here we are taking the road, as pilgrims, you are taking the narrow road, and the Lord always gives us warning signs. Warning signs in the Bible telling this, this is what you should do, and this is what you should not do. And one of the warning signs that the Lord gives us in this lesson today is that we need to avoid unholy fellowship. We need to avoid unholy fellowship. So we are going to see that today. So Ephesians chapter 5 verse 7 says, therefore do not be partakers with them, or do not associate with them. Unholy fellowship is to have an intimate fellowship with unbelievers. It's okay to be friends with unbelievers. There's nothing wrong. Okay? It's okay to be friends. It's okay to witness to them. But we should not have an intimate relationship with unbelievers. Okay? That's what the Lord is saying here. Now, why is it that God is telling us to do that? Why God does not want the true born-again Christians to have an unholy fellowship with the unbelievers? If you turn with me in your Bibles, but if not, I'm going to read it because we are going to go through a lot of scriptures today. In Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 10. Deuteronomy 22:10. Deuteronomy is in the Old Testament. Okay? Deuteronomy 22:10 says, and it says here, do not plow with an ox and a donkey yoked together. Now, if you understand this, if you have seen a rice field, alright, on one side, in the olden days, there were no tractors to plow the field. There were what? Carabao, right? To plow the field, right? So here we see, on one side, if you have a carabao, you know, a bull, and the other side, if you have a horse, how will it be? Both will be going in two different directions, right? In the same way God is saying here, do not plow with an ox and a donkey yoked together. Because the donkey has a different direction and the ox has a different direction. In the same way, what the Lord is telling is that the Christians, we have some principles and they have the word of God. As Christians, we need to follow the word of God. And this is the ultimate rule for our life. And this is our faith. So, on one side, if you have the Christian, and if you have an intimate relationship with an unchristian, you will not have the same direction. You will have different directions. Because the unchristian, or the person who is not a Christian, will follow the ways of this world. It's just the way I said, they will take the broad road and you will take the narrow road, and both cannot have in the same mind, and there cannot be any agreements. This is the problem when the Christian get married to an unbeliever. There's all kinds of problems will come. And here, it will become even clearer if you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. 2 Corinthians 14, 6, chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. It says here, do not be unequally yoked. That's exactly what I said. The ox and the donkey that is being together is unequally yoked. Here, Paul goes on to say, do not be unequally yoked with who? With unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or for what fellowship has light with darkness? What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we, the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from the midst and be what? Separate from them, says the Lord. And touch no unclean thing, then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you. You shall be be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Now this is not what I am saying, what the Lord is saying. Be separate from among them. Now, in the Old Testament, the Bible, God warned Israel and Judah repeatedly, many times, not to marry from other nations, from the people who had other customs, not to marry, intermarry, not to have any treaties with them. The reason is that they would be influenced by their customs, by their idolatry, and the children of Israel can go astray. Okay? Now, we need to listen to the word of God, because they disobeyed God's commandments, and God has to chastise them over and over again. Now, it doesn't mean to say today that we cannot marry a person from another country only if they are Christians. All right, but those days, those pagan nations, they were not Christians. Now Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 14 says, Deuteronomy 6, 14 to 16. That's what we read today. Deuteronomy 6, 14. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the people who are around you. For the Lord your God is in your midst, is a jealous God, lest the anger of the Lord your God be kindled against you, and he destroy you from the face of the earth. You shall not put the Lord your God to the test, as you tested him at Massah. You shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies and his statutes, which he has commanded you. And you shall do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may go well with you, that you may go in and take the possession of the land, and the Lord swore to give to your fathers. Now we understand very clearly what God has told us, not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, mean to have an intimate relationship with them, not to have any treaties with them, not to have any contracts or anything like that, any treaties. We need to be separate. Alright? Now we have said that as a principle and as a foundation, we understand that. The Word of God says that. Now, when we go to verse 8, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. It's 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Here the apostle reminds us the days before our conversion, before we were converted. He reminds us, saying that there's a time that we were in darkness. Like any unbeliever, we were in darkness too. Now darkness, what does it mean? Darkness means that we were not born again. We were in our sinful nature. Alright? We were living in sin according to the passions and the desires of this flesh. Light means when you heard the gospel, you were enlightened by the Word of God. And with the light, the Word of God is like a light. And with this Word of God, it penetrated into our heart. Suddenly, lights open, and we became saved. Salvation came to us. Alright? We were saved from the wrath of God that was going to come. That means we were rescued from the dominion of Satan, who is the prince of darkness. The marvelous light of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that amazing? That we were rescued from the prince of darkness, from the bondage of sin. We were loose and we were given liberation, freedom to come and openly worship and adore our loving God through Jesus Christ. And this is the beauty of the gospel. Now, God prophesied about this in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2. Isaiah chapter 9 2. Isaiah 9 2. The people who walk in darkness has seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shine. We were walking in deep darkness. We didn't have a Bible. We didn't read the Bible. We didn't care to go to church. We didn't have anything. We were walking in deep darkness until a great light shone in us. And our minds were cleared, and now we can see the beauty of the Lord. The salvation is not ourselves. When we were in darkness, we didn't come to the light on our own power. We were powerless because sin, what sin can do, it cannot bring us to God. Okay? We were powerless in our sins. The Bible says that when we were powerless, Christ died for us. And Psalm chapter 18, verse 28 says, Psalm 18:28 says, For it is you who light my lamp. It means that it is God who lights the lamp. We were in darkness, but God came and lit the lamp. I didn't light my lamp, but God did it. Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. You did not love me, but we did not love God, but He loved us first. So here we see, it is the Lord who lit the lamp. The Lord, my God, lightens my darkness. See that? Also, 1 Peter. Now when the Lord lit that lamp, we became alive to the world. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9 says, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people of His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of where? Out of darkness into His marvelous light. And when He brings us from darkness to His light, what does it happen? We are separated from darkness to the light. We become holy unto Him. That's why Peter says, we are a chosen race, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Because peculiar people are different. We are not like all the other rest of the people in the world, because they are all taking the broad road. We are, as pilgrims, are taking the narrow road, minority. So the Spirit of God is in us, and we as Christians, we need to live not as unbelievers, but as true Christians. Okay? In 1 John chapter 2, verse 29 says, 1 John 2:29, to walk as the children of light, right? Verse 8, Ephesians 5:8. So 1 John 2:29 says, I know that He is righteous. You may be sure that everyone who practices righteousness has been born of Him. So if the Lord lit the light in us, and we become a light, and because He is light, and we have fellowship with Him, and we walk in His way. Now, so Ephesians 5:8 says, do not, we were once in darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord, walk as the children of light. Alright? But when we take this narrow road, there's always going to be temptation that is coming our way. Satan always tempts us to come to the very edge of the cliff. Because the edge of the cliff is always exciting. There is where the pleasures are. And at the edge of the cliff, you see the beautiful flowers. And it shows the glory, and the edge of the cliff, you see the glories and the splendor of this world. How the Satan took Jesus to a cliff and showed the glories and the splendors of this world. And here we see the wines of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. And how it was is so pleasing to the eye. And even Lot was deceived because he walked not by faith but by sight. The sweetness of Sodom and Gomorrah is going to be a cup of damnation as God poured out His wrath on Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, before conversion, we drank the sweetness of sin. Before our conversion, we drank the sweetness of sin, and we enjoyed the cup of pleasure of this world. We saw all the worldly movies. We really enjoyed it. We were in worldly amusement. We really enjoyed it. And we never touched the Word of God. We never read the Word of God. But now we had tasted the sweetness of Christ. We have seen the beauty of Christ. We have seen that Christ is altogether lovely. And if we have done that, how can we go back to our old lifestyle again? You understand what I'm saying? It's like a dog. Can a dog return to its own vomit? So let's go back to Ephesians, verse 9. Ephesians 5:9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The result of our salvation is good works. There be always good works coming out of us because we are living close to God and we are godly. Now, if you look at vegetation, and vegetation, the trees and the plants, it needs sunlight. Without sunlight, it cannot grow. And it cannot bear fruits without sunlight. In the same way, God is called the light. Right? Jesus is called the Sun, S-U-N, Sun of Righteousness. In John chapter 1, 1 John 1:15 says, this is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you, that God is light. 1 John 1:5, that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness. In God there is no sin. In God there is no darkness. In God there is no unholiness. In God there is no wickedness. So God is absolutely, infinitely holy. And in Him there is light. And so it says here, so if we live in God, He will shine His lightness to us. And we bear good fruits. Alright? That means our conduct and our behavior will be godly. In 1 John 1:7 says, 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. As the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So if we walk, God is light, and if we walk in His likeness, we have fellowship with who? With God Almighty through Jesus Christ. Now, on the other hand, the unbelievers, they are in darkness. What do I mean by darkness? That means they are not born again by the Spirit of God. That means they have no desire for God. Okay? They have no thirst for God. They are in darkness. If they are in darkness, the Bible says this word of God is a lamp unto our feet. Right? So, and the unbelievers, they are in darkness because they don't even read the word of God. They have no passion for the word of God. So they are in darkness. They don't know where they are going. So they are going according to their feelings, according to their emotions, how the world is going. Alright? They are controlled by their own flesh, not by the word of God. Here, so they are in darkness. So, and they are blinded by the enemy, Satan. Their minds have been blinded. The world, the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers, their mind. Now verse 10, Ephesians chapter 5 verse 10 says, now it says here, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And that means we need to try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Okay? So we should not walk according to the unbelievers. We should be separated from them. And if we are in the light, we should walk as the light and have fellowship with God. And we should discern what is right and pleasing to the Lord. Okay? Now, there are a lot of, I'm saying this with much anguish and with much pity and with much hurt, because there are a lot of preachers today who preach to the flesh of the congregation. They preach to the flesh of the congregation. That means they feel good for their flesh, but not to the soul. It is the duty of the pastor to preach and encourage the people to live in holiness. Because God is holy. Heaven is holy. And if you are going to go to heaven, which is holy, we need to live a holy life now. Okay? And if you are ungodly, unholy, that's a place in hell. So there are so many who are not even preaching heaven and hell. They don't even preach sin, and they're preaching to the flesh. And we need to promote holiness, and we need to set an example. The pastor has to set an example to the people and how he lives. His life should be an example. And then he can say to the others, follow me as I follow Christ. That means his conduct and his behavior should be an example to a life, to the people. And if we do that, at the same time, if we do that, we will be pleasing God. We would be pleasing God. It pleases the Lord if you live according to the will of God. Now, what is the will of God? The will of God is to obey what is in the Bible. Okay? The will of man or the will of the flesh is do my own thing. But the will of God is to do what is in the Bible. Now, if you do the will of God, it pleases Him. Alright, so there are a lot of people in the world, they take the broad road. But if you take the narrow road, it pleases the Lord. Okay, this is a road of righteousness. When you are not having fellowship with the unbelievers, you are taking a stand, it pleases the Lord. It may not please them, but it pleases the Lord. We need to be obedient to the Lord, not to please everybody else, but to obey God. Usually, the unbelievers are like dead fish. They are like dead fish, and usually the dead fish will flow in water according to the flow of the water. There's no way they cannot go. They have no life. They cannot go against the flow. So the dead, just how the unbelievers are, they will just flow according to the patterns of this world, according to the crowd. They will follow the crowd. So they are like dead fish. But the Christians are like the live fish. The live fish can go against the flow of the water. Okay? So the Christians, we should not conform to the worldly ways of the customs of this world or following the crowd, and we need to be like a live fish, as the book of Romans chapter 12 verse 1 and 2 says. Romans chapter 12 1 and 2. Appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Then he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now that is, so if you are not following the ways of the world, you are doing the will of God. Now it is only the Christian who can despise the customs of this world. Christians are pressured by every direction. We are pressured by the world, right? And we are pressured by every direction to follow their ways. But the true Christian should ask this question: when you get pressured, when you get tempted, next time when it happens to you, ask this question. Is it right or is it wrong for me to do this? As simple as that. Is it right or is it wrong for me to do this? We just read Deuteronomy chapter 6. And Deuteronomy 6 verse 18 says, do what is right and good in the sight of God. So when you get pressured, we need to ask, is it right or wrong for me to do this in the sight of God? Now, if you don't do it, you will be in the minority. Because everybody is doing it. If all the other people in the world are doing it, and I will not do it, I will not do it. Even I'll be in the minority. Even how much pressure I will get, I will not do it. Even if they stone me, I will not do it, because I love my Lord Jesus Christ, who died for me, who paid the penalty of sin. None of those people did that to me. But Jesus saved me. So I will do what the Lord has done it for me. So I will not do it, even if they stone to me. If the multitudes of the people tells me to follow their way, I will not follow their way. I will follow what the Lord has told me to do. I will not go with them. I will despise their ways and the customs. I care not what others do. I shall not be tempted, pressured by other men. So, but I will cling to my Master, my Lord, and my Savior, who I can trust. I can trust in Him, because He gave His life to me. None of the other people did that to me. Because in this, I can conquer and overcome the world, because Jesus overcame the world and conquered the powers of the world. Our Lord set the example of obedience. He did not come to this earth to do His will, but He came to do the will of the Father who sent Him. In the same way, we need to follow His ways. Not our emotions, what we feel like doing, not our feelings, but what the Word of God says, which is the will of the Father. And remember, when Jesus came to the baptism, the Father was pleased with Him, as because of Christ's obedience, and a voice came from heaven and said, this is my beloved Son, whom well I am pleased. Listen to Him. So listen to Jesus. Now let's go back to Ephesians 5 verse 11. As it says, Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. So we are not to take part in unfruitful works of darkness, but instead we are to expose them. Now, if we have intimate fellowship with the unbelievers, it can influence us. Because sometimes they sound very good. And we should not walk according to our feelings, our emotions. We should not trust them. The Bible says that we are not to walk by sight, but walk by what? By faith. Not by sight, what we see, but by faith. So we should not trust them. We should trust in the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 5 says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man. Who trusts in man and makes flesh for his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. If you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says here, "You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." And here, for those who sleep at night, those who get drunk are drunk at night. And that means we should be separated from the world and in your actions. We cannot honor God, and also at the same time, we cannot honor the world. We cannot honor both at the same time. We cannot drink the cup of the Lord, and at the same time, we cannot eat the delicacies of the devil. We cannot do that. So we need to be sober, putting the breastplate of faith. Okay? So we cannot taste the sweetness of sin, and at the same time, we cannot taste the sweetness of the Lord. It is like darkness and light. It is two extremes. It cannot happen. We cannot have both. So verse 12, Ephesians chapter 6, chapter 5, verse 12 says, "But it is shameful even to speak for those things which are done them in secret." It is so shameful what people do in secret. If somebody invents a camera, and this camera can, like a video camera, can take videos, everything what you do, from little child until you die, everything. And then suddenly, if it's expo, they are going to play that whole thing to everybody. You'll be ashamed, right? Because we lived in darkness. So here we see it is shameful even to speak the things that they do in secret. There's an old proverb which says, "Night has no shame." Now, let's see. If there is no power for 1 week, there's no electricity for 1 week, there's no way you can get any power. If this whole of the United States is going to be in darkness, what is going to happen? There's going to be a lot of looting, a lot of crime, a lot of violence, and a lot of sexual immorality. There will be a lot of rape, and the country will be in uproar, and people will be panicking. A lot of people will come and steal your things. And here, in darkness, the real nature of man will come out. But because there's light, people are scared to do it. Nobody will rob a bank in front of a police car, in front of a policeman, because they're scared. Right? But if there is no police in the country, there are no judges in the country, everybody will be loose, just like what happened to the Hurricane Katrina and so forth like that. Soon after that, the looting that they had. The real nature of man will come out. But by the grace of God, God has, by His grace, He has suppressed these things. By His common grace, He has given us light. He has given us churches to preach the word of God. He has appointed judges and the policemen and so forth like that. So people are scared to do it. So, many are involved in their darling secret sins that they do in secretly. And we are even ashamed to talk of the wicked things what they do, but the wicked are not ashamed of doing their secret thing, sins. Sexual immorality is openly displayed today in worldly movies. Pornography is rampant everywhere. Majority of the government people are corrupt. Majority of the judges are corrupt. Majority of the policemen are corrupt. Even our schools, majority of the schools are corrupt. And majority of the churches are corrupt because they do not talk of sin. They will not expose sin. That's the problem. They will not preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. That's the problem. They will preach what is pleasing for the man, what they like to hear, not what you need to hear. So, verse 13 says, Ephesians 5:13, but all things are exposed, are made manifest by the light, and whatever makes manifest is light. When we expose the sins in the light of God's Word, many people can get offended. When Jesus exposed the sins of the people, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were offended. I get many letters because we have a great website and all our teachings, every sermon that we preach today will go to the website, and we have a lot of people just because we have a small group of people here, but we have a large audience in the world who are listening to these sermons from Africa, England, Australia, New Zealand, India, China, everywhere. And sometimes I get letters because some people get offended because I expose the truth. I tell the truth because I tell the false teachers, and people get offended. And in the same way, if you look at John chapter 3 verse 19, John 3 verse 19 and 20, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world. Now you heard this light, darkness, darkness, light, darkness many times. Now you should be able to understand what we are talking here, right? So Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. Remember the Samaritan woman that came to Jesus? And Jesus said, I'll give me a drink of water. And the woman said, you are a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. What relationship does Jews and Samaritans have? Jesus said, if you know the woman whom you're talking, I will give you living water. And the woman said, how can you give living water? And Jesus said, go call your husband. And the woman said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you said it right, you have no husband, but you are living with five men. Jesus exposed her sins. But praise God, she was saved by the grace of God. But a lot of people, they don't like it when somebody exposes the sins, right? That's exactly what Jesus is saying here. People doesn't want to come to him because sins will be exposed. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 20. I'm going to read it quick. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them. Says us to rebuke. This is what the Word of God says. Open rebuke is better than hidden love, isn't it? 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 1 says, I charge you in the presence of God. 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearance and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to serve their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander into myths. So we as Christians are the lights of this world. We receive this light from the greater light, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world. He is the Son, S-U-N, Son of Righteousness. We cannot be soft on sin or we cannot be pussy-footed Christians. You know, pussy-footed, little pussies, they kind of walk so softly. We cannot be like that. We need to be bold in telling the truth. So let me close with the following. See if you understand everything what we said. The whole sermon today is not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers, but to be separate from them. And we need to be a light. Okay? As God is light, we need to walk in His lightness. Okay? So darkness and light are two extreme things. Just like heaven and hell cannot be together. You understand what I'm saying? Heaven and hell have no fellowship together. In the same way, God and the devil cannot have fellowship together. They cannot eat at the same place. They cannot dwell together. Okay? In the same way, we see that light and darkness have no fellowship. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 verse 4. Genesis 1:4. It says here, "And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from what? From darkness. So what God has divided, let no man unite." God divided the light and darkness. It is two extremes. You cannot have both together. So we should not have intimate relationship with unbelievers. Christians of the light must not have fellowship with the unbelievers, or neither enjoy their pleasures of sin. We should not have fellowship even of their doctrines, what they believe in. We should not unite if they are preaching false doctrines. We should not unite with them. That's how the Protestantism came from. Because the Roman Catholicism believes in a Pope. It says, according to Roman Catholicism, Pope is the head of the church. But my Bible says that Christ is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. Okay? They believe in saints, and they worship images. But my Bible says, do not worship in images. Christ is to be worshipped. And they worship Mary. But my Bible says, even Mary cried out, sang a song in proclaiming that Jesus as a Savior. And my Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, and that is Christ Jesus. Amen. So we need to follow what the Word of God says. It doesn't matter, everybody is following their system. Even during the time of Jesus, only 12 apostles were left at the end. Many were forsaking him at the end. Why? Because even during the time of the early church, the church was the minority, not the majority, because they followed the Word of God. So, in the same way, we should not follow the pleasures of sin, even everybody else is following it. We must discern what is right and wrong. What God has divided, let us never try to unite it. The children of the day must be sober and honest and bold in the Lord's work. So let us come out of the ungodly and let us be a peculiar people, as the book of Peter says. And I can, you know, we need to be a peculiar people, a holy nation. Remember, beloved, you are a Christian. You are a son of the King of Kings. Therefore, keep yourself unspotted from the world. Do not allow your eyes to become the windows of lust. Because very soon, when you die, you are going to see the King in His beauty. Do not let your feet defile walking in sinfulness. Because very soon after you die, you will be walking in the streets of gold. So if we pray, then we should act. Or else, we'll be hypocrites. So if you listen to me, what I say, you should act. And if you don't do it, you know what it is, right? But if you don't do it, you become a hypocrite. And that's the worst thing to happen. So if you go to church, and if you profess to love Jesus Christ, let us love Him, not only here, but everywhere, wherever you go. If you truly love Him, then you will have a passion for Him, and you will do what the Lord says for us to do. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, oh, we thank You, Lord God Almighty, for giving us the food from heaven, Lord, for thirsty souls, for feeding us the bread of life, and giving us the living water, Lord. So, from out of our bellies, the fire will go out of our bellies, Lord, that we will be bold to live as Christians, Lord, that we will be soldiers of the Lord. He is our King. We pray and ask, Lord God Almighty, as we have tasted the sweetness of Christ, as we have seen the bitterness and the darkness of the enemy, that we will make a separation, Lord, that we will make a separation, that we will not walk in the ways of darkness, that we will not have unequally yoked relationship with people who doesn't know You. And I pray and ask, Lord God Almighty, that only You can give salvation, that You would light a burning candle in us, Lord, a light in our hearts, that we would be able to see You, that we would be able to live near the throne of God, not live close to the world, but we will live close to the throne of God. That Jesus will become my first love, that we would love Him from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, and that we would follow Him. We ask, Lord, that You would bless what we heard today, and that You will bless our souls, Lord, and it will profit our lives according to Your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing this song.